episode for our Holy Mass on the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish all these things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with that power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus down through all the ages of time without end. And now please stand for the reading of the Gospel, taken from the Gospel of Luke chapter 14. At that time, when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not immediately draw him up out on the Sabbath?" And they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first places at table. And he said to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than you, thou shalt have been invited by him. And he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man.' And then thou begin with shame to take the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may see to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at the table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. The two passages from the New Testament, one from St. Paul, the other from the Gospel according to St. Luke, may not seem to be immediately related to one another. But if we attend carefully and also recall certain of the things that are going on at the present time, we shall see that there is a very close relationship between the first and the second. That St. Paul is offering a prayer to God the Father precisely that we might understand what is the goal of our life here below, and that no matter what the tribulations, mine, says St. Paul, or difficulties, or what might be yours, or what some will say is also Christ on the cross, all of these sacrifices, all of these efforts are worth every bit of energy that we can give to them. And for that reason, St. Paul says, "I beg you to pray for me, and pray for yourselves, and I intend to do this now. I bend my knee. To the Father from whom all fatherhood on heaven and earth takes his name." What is the heart of fatherhood? It is that source, that generous source of love, that generous source, as it were, that led to the creation of the world for the sake of Jesus, for our sake, because we are predestined with our Lord. It is the first and most basic grace, not for any reason of necessity, but out of the goodness of his heart. The Father has predestined his Son to become man, and for us, as it were, to be incorporated into his body. And thus his prayer goes on, that he might, as it were, pour out upon all of you his Spirit, There's an illusion here. We may not always see it immediately because we're so we forget the thing for one part of the scriptures and to another part of the scriptures. Who is it that filled Our Lady at the time of the Annunciation when she said, "Be it done to me according to Thy word"? It was the Spirit by whom she conceived the Son of God as her Son. It is by that same Spirit that is given to us at baptism that we are transformed into images of Jesus, and we are incorporated into His body, which is the Church. That we are united with Him in a stupendous communion of love. What St. Paul is praying for, that you might understand this, particularly in the midst of all of the tribulations and trials that you must bear, that with all the saints, he's thinking of the saints that are already in heaven, you might understand the length and the breadth, the heights and the depth, and then he leaves out a world of what? Precisely the tremendous work of salvation that the Lord has worked for us, that you might, as it were, have that knowledge of the love that is in Christ Jesus, which you cannot have unless you love Him, unless you believe in Him, unless you place all your hopes in Him, and are willing, as it were, to share the cross in whatever shape or form that He sends it to you, and not be discouraged. And he concludes, as it were, well, going back, as it were, to the Reformation, that is the Father, who is able to do all of these things for us beyond anything we can begin to imagine. Or with all of our advanced science comprehend. To Him be the glory forever and ever in the Church and in Christ Jesus. We can say through Christ Jesus the whole Church gives glory to the Father for His goodness and His grace. This is what true love is all about. And it is something, it's the prayer, the third chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It concludes the first doctrinal part, beginning with that famous passage that Pope John Paul III uses to introduce his marvelous encyclical on the Mother of the Redeemer. You cannot understand, and the conversation between Our Lady and the Archangel Gabriel, unless you read it in the context of the explanation that St. Paul gives for the plan of God from all eternity, from the predestination of the Son of God to become, as it were, the Son of Mary and one of us. And our, you might say, co-predestination, all of the elect in that blessed decision of the Father. So this is something that we can meditate upon, to recognize that what St. John says in his first letter, God is love. God is this marvelous love, the knowledge of which comes from actually loving God, transcends anything else. It cannot be known and recognized. We get only hints of the use of our knowledge in a natural way. It requires, therefore, a revelation. It requires, therefore, those particular gifts of the Spirit by which we come to understand the stupendous charity that is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, in God in him. All the rest doesn't count, we might say, if we are filled with the love of God and strive to do his will, because in doing his will we give expression that charity on our part for him. And the laws that God gives us are not impositions, they're guidelines primarily to actually living this law. So that is our first lesson that we are given to contemplate today. Then in the chapter 14, our Lord's at one of the banquets. He was often invited out because the Pharisees, being good politicians, as it were, recognized somebody who was very, very popular. And our Lord understood what they were looking for. An excuse, as it were, to accuse them before the people and destroy his reputation. So, as in those public dinners of that kind, all kinds of people came to eat. There was a man with a dropsy, and it was a Sabbath. And the Lord said, as it were, he knew what he was going to do. He said, put them on the defensive first. Is it licit? Is it legal to cure on the Sabbath? And they wouldn't give him an answer, yes or no. So he cured. and then pointed out out to the, them as word, don't you do cures on the Sabbath for your animals? And the answer, of course, is yes. Don't you do work? Don't you do all of these other very secular things on Sunday instead of going to mass? And sometimes you might say yes if it's necessary. Necessary, all right. The Lord understands these things. The correction here is: this is not as the word true love, true piety. Piety to make rigid laws, which cause a terrible suffering and burden for those who have to, and then go off and do whatever you please. Charity is not doing whatever you please, doing your own thing. That's better described simply as selfishness. But then, as there was a selfishness in the authorities, as matched by a selfishness in those who are their subjects. And he pointed to the rest of those invited, all scrambling to get the first place, and talk directly and immediately to the head guest and the one who invited everybody to together. And the Lord simply pointed out, promoting yourself, getting advantages especially at the expense of others, of cooperating with superiors, authorities in a way, as it were, to cooperate in their practice of false love, whether it's a secular form or religious form, it's the same thing. So also is your climbing for the first place, the practice of careerism, as it is sometimes called today. You must be humble first in order to truly love. You must be willing to forget yourself, to put Jesus, to put the Lord God first place. And if you love in that way, you will find that He will ask you to take the first place. How many first places are? As long as you can be united to Jesus, you're in first place. But precisely because you love our Lord and are willing to forget yourself, not to use, as it were, the arrangements in this world as a means of taking the place of our Lord as the first one. Who exalts himself will be humbled. And if we exalt ourselves enough, we will be humbled to the depths of hell. But who humbles himself, and this is a different kind of humility, it is the humility of our, once again, the humility of the handmaid of the Lord, that so pleased the Father that He entrusted His dearly begotten Son to Him. It so pleased the Son that He desired not only to be in the company of Our Lady, but to be her child, to the extent of being her little baby as a starting point. We cannot meditate that enough to understand and appreciate that humility, that simplicity, that true goodness, that the practice of these virtues will realize for us. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us meditate upon these thoughts, those concerning, as it were, ways of practicing a false charity, whether in a position of power or whether in a position of servitude, and turn rather to pray that prayer of St. Paul, or to join him better in prayer, that we might be filled with the Spirit of the Father and the Son, and that we might, as it were, grow in the inner man, that we become more like our dear Savior, more united to Him, singly and in the company of others, and that we may come even in this world to know, as it were, the height and the depth, the breadth and the length of that charity, of that love, that brings with it also a stupendous knowledge and understanding, and an increase of our desire always to be united to Jesus, even if we must, as it were, share the cross with Him. Praise be Jesus and Mary.